My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of the Inside United podcast, where we are continuing our discussion with Scott Ashley, who is here at the home office teaching at Ambassador Bible College. He is managing editor of Beyond Today Publications, and we started talking about the Samaritans and some other groups that were present with the Jews in Palestine at the time of Christ. So we started talking about the Samaritans, which is a group of special interest, and we were just about to get into a specific story that has one big story of itself. So, Scott?
Sure. There's just a lot going on in the story about Jesus and the woman at the well, which takes place in Samaria. This story holds a lot of interest to me because I've been to Samaria, been to that well, drunk water from that well, which is inside a church now, and managed to get some Pharaoh's revenge, but that's another story we won't get into, but the things I do for history. that's the setting of this story. It's called Nablus today, Arab city of Nablus, in the northern area called the West Bank there. But Jesus travels back and forth between Samaria several times. He goes there multiple times a year to keep the biblical holy days down in Jerusalem, the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. So on this one occasion, he and his disciples are traveling through the area of Samaria, and they come to a city called Sychar here in that day. You'll find this story in John chapter 4 and beginning in verse 5. And I'll just go through and read this and comment a little bit on it, on what's going on, because there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye because of the history of that area. So it tells us here Jesus came to a city of Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So the history, the biblical history of this area goes back almost 2,000 years, back to the time of the patriarchs and Jacob and Joseph. And Jacob had constructed a well there in verse 6, and that's where this takes place. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And wells at this time in towns, they would have a community well. Everybody couldn't afford to dig their own well, so they would have a community well where you would lower a bucket down to draw water, and they would often have some watering troughs there for the animals, sheep, goats, cattle, and so on. So water was a precious resource at that time. So the well was kind of a community gathering place as well. And the women, it was considered women's work to draw the water for the household. So they would come there and draw the water and put it in large pottery jugs to take back to their houses for drinking water, for cooking, for washing, bathing, things like that. So the women would do that normally in the morning or late in the evening. They would not normally be doing it at the sixth hour. The sixth hour here is noon. Its days were counted in John's gospel from sunrise, about 6 a.m. So sixth hour is about noon. So it's unusual to find this woman there at noon drawing water from the well. So that's an interesting indicator. There's something going on, more to meets the eye in the story. So a woman comes to the well to draw water, and Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." And meanwhile, his disciples had gone into the town to buy some food. So it's heat of the day again. They've been walking probably all morning, and Jesus asks the woman for a drink of water. And the woman says to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And John interjects a parenthetical thought, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, which is true. There's a lot of hostility, like we talked about in the previous podcast on this subject. And Jesus says something really unusual. He says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And Jesus is a Jewish rabbi, And he does what I call a rabbi thing. He makes an unusual statement to make people think. And so he challenges her to think. And rabbis typically didn't spell out everything. They wanted to make you think and come to your own answer about it. So what he's essentially telling her is that he is the source of living waters. He is God, in other words. But the woman doesn't catch this. So she takes his words literally. And she says to him, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So how are you going to get that living water you're talking about? In other words, he doesn't have a bucket. So, and then she says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock? And in the previous podcast, we talked about how the Samaritans had kind of appropriated Israelite history and applied it to themselves. And this is what's going on here. She talks about her father, Jacob. Well, no, they're not descended from Jacob. And this was part of the hostility there. And Jesus ignores that and kind of an insult, possibly, not quite sure. And Jesus then says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. So again, he talks about this very different kind of water. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor have to come here to draw water out of the well every day. Is she... We don't have the tone of voice here. Is she being a little sarcastic? Maybe so, considering the hostility. And maybe she says, well, yeah, sure, give me some of this water, and then I won't have to come here every day to get my water.
Just trying to make conversation, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of think what makes me think that a little bit is because of Jesus' response, because he shifts from making these puzzling statements to something that is a real challenge to her. He says to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you've rightly said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman has to be totally dumbfounded at that, because here's a man she's just met for the first time, and he knows all of her details about her life, that she's been married five times and is now living with a man. And here's another part of the interesting story, because we would tend to assume that she's simply a very immoral woman. She's been married five times. She can't get along. She's divorcing husband after husband, and now she's shacked up with another guy. But I think not, because of something that follows later in the story. I think there's another possibility, because in that culture, women had a very hard life. They had few rights. In Jewish culture that day, a husband could divorce his wife, for example, if she couldn't bear him a son or couldn't bear children at all, or if he didn't like her cooking, he could divorce her. Or if she got older and didn't look as good as she did, he could divorce you. This is not biblical. This is just human nature and the way culture had become by that time. So a woman who was divorced just really didn't have many options. She could maybe move back in with her family if they would accept her and if that were possible, or she could try to find another husband. Or if she were thrown out of her house by her husband, she could turn to a life of begging. Or she could turn to prostitution, which was very real in that day, or live with a man just to do housework, laundry, cooking, cleaning, just to have a roof over her head, something like that. So she might have been a very immoral woman, or my thought is she's really just a broken woman who's fallen on really hard times. And she simply has no other options, and she's struggling to survive in the only way that she can. We just don't know. There aren't details for that. But because of what follows later, I think it's probably more the latter than the former. So the woman then says to Jesus, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet," because again, she's just been told these details a stranger could not possibly know about her. And then she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And this is a really strange statement coming from her, but I think what prompts her to say this is she has just met a man she realizes is a prophet of God. Mm-hmm. And this man has either pointed out to her her immoral lifestyle or offered her help to turn from her way of life, turn her life around and turn to God. So either way, her response is to acknowledge God. And the only way she knows how to acknowledge and worship God is through offering sacrifices. That is how a person worshiped God and paid homage mm-hmm. to God in that mm-hmm. day, by offering a sacrifice at the temple of God. And that's why I think she says, "Our ancestors worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim," which is right in the background where this conversation takes place. And then she says, "You Jews say that in Jerusalem is where we ought to offer our sacrifices." So she has a dilemma, which place, mm-hmm. her place or his place? After all, he's a prophet. So which is the right one? And then Jesus says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain," Mount Gerizim, right behind them mm-hmm. there, "nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." So Jesus tells her it's not a matter of worshiping in a physical temple at a particular spot. That's going to change soon. And Jesus says, essentially, however, since you brought it up, he says in verse 22 of John 4, "You worship what you do not know. We know, we Jews know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So in other words, he says, "You Samaritans have it wrong. We have it right. You're not worshiping God in the right way." Of course, the Jews didn't have everything right either, but they were a lot closer to following the Bible. And then he says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things." And then Jesus gives the shocker. He said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And as near as we can tell, this is the first time in the Gospels where he openly tells someone he is the Messiah. And he tells a Gentile and a woman that.
Who's had a very sad history.
Yeah.
From a sad nation.
Right. And then, interrupting the story, the disciples return. They've gone to buy food, and they return, and they marvel that he talked with a woman. Yet none of them ask, what do you seek, or what are you talking with her mm-hmm. about? And the woman, at that point, leaves her water pot there, or water jug by the well, goes into the city, and says to the men in the city, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ, the Messiah?" And then the men come out of the city and come to him. So this is one reason why I think the woman was not an absolute immoral prostitute or something like that, because the men of the city have enough respect to pay attention to her. Mm-hmm. She says, "Hey, I just met the Messiah." And what do? They come out and hear him. And he actually ends up staying a couple of days there in the city. And John's account tells us a little further down that many came to believe in Jesus as the Messiah as a result of that. So just a lot of detail going on in the background of that story there.
That's an amazing story. It really is. In fact, I've gotten deeper understanding here just talking to you, because I'd like to hear stories about underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's definitely an underdog. And I feel like Christianity is a religion for underdogs, not for the mm-hmm. real righteous. In fact, Jesus Christ, even the group that he called to himself, they weren't the great seminarians.
No, they weren't. Yeah. They were the guys who flunked out of rabbi school.
Yeah, they didn't make it. It took Paul a couple years later to have somebody who was really up that way. But mm-hmm. Christ has chosen the weak, the poor, the base of the world to be able to establish his ministry. And I feel that really is a very, very great indicator of God's grace towards mankind. And also to say that it's not by who you are or what you do, that is important, but it's also that it's God's goodness and God's grace that is able to lift a person up and make something out of a person, because all of us want to be somehow recognized and be okay. And so he makes the lowest of these people. Mm-hmm. I feel that's why even like this woman here in the Hebrews chapter 11, you have the great pioneers of faith, mm-hmm. but they range from Abraham, who was, you know, undoubtedly the most righteous all the way down to Rahab. And so they cover the whole gamut of people mm-hmm. from as how they were viewed by the world, but how they had all been faithful and they will be in that resurrection. Well, it's just been great talking to you about some of your teaching here at ABC. We'll be looking forward to your coming here again. In fact, here it is. I'm in the last days of the month of August, and we're finally getting back to normalcy, where I hope we are. Right. And the biggest thing that's been the most bright thing of all has been to see each other face-to-face. We've been communicating using electronic means, but now we're communicating face-to-face. So that's really great. So it's been great to be having you here in the studio. So we want to thank you again, all of you, for joining us today on Inside United. Again, tell your friends about our podcast. We have a lot of interesting people that come from various backgrounds who have very fascinating things to share on Inside United. You can find us on the homepage of ucg.org, and on the top menu bar, click or tap on the podcast button, or download your favorite podcasting app on iOS or Android. There are many around that you can automatically have this podcast come to you every week. We usually release it every Thursday afternoon. And also you can find us on Spotify. Write to us at podcast@ucg.org. Come and join us again for another edition of Inside United.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.